So in the previous talk, we heard about how you can add lots of commands to fix the shortcomings of an interesting or dated model of version control. And in this talk, I want to convince you that you can actually. Oh, this isn't working. Yeah. I didn't do anything, so I don't. Oh yeah, right. So I was saying in the previous talk we heard about how you can add commands to do all sorts of things, and improve on the state of the art in version control. In this talk, I want to convince you that we can actually get most of the stuff for free if we start by doing some mathematics. So my entire life so far has been about doing really far stretches between deep theory and deep practice, or between one domain and another. I've been working on DNA nanotechnology as a theoretical computer scientist for a while. Today I'm working on game theory and economics algorithms for electricity markets. I'm interested in distributed computing, so Pirul is a byproduct of that interest. So in this talk, I'll first start with defining things. There'll be some mathematics involved and also some like practical stuff. So if you're not interested in mathematical parts, bear with me. They won't be too long, hopefully. All right, so I'll first start with defining what version control is for me. Then talk about our solution and what we've been working on, and then some cool implementation details or things that I find cool at least, and then my talk title was a little bit baity, so I'll try to come back to that and comment on that choice by asking the question again: is this really post-Git? Okay, so version control. Probably many people here use it and know exactly what it is, but let's do it anyway. It's when one or more co-authors edit a tree of documents concurrently. And one thing that's super important is the asynchronous nature of the thing. So co-authors can choose when they want to sync or merge. And reminding these definitions sounds like it's a little bit trivial, but it actually matters a lot when you're deep down in mathematics and you're like trying to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. So for example, how does version control differ from Google Docs, for example? Edits may conflict, so that's a feature that's been often overlooked in current systems like Git, Mercurial, SVN, CVS, RCS before it. And finally, also version control allows you to review a project's history, so that's a very important feature as well. Many people consider, well, apparently not everybody, but many people consider version control a solved problem. Git is here to stay, it solved version control 15 years ago, and that's the end of the story. Unfortunately, I personally don't think this is true. Some symptoms indicating this might not be true are, for example, that our tools, no matter how good we think they are, they still aren't used by non-coders despite their maturity. We've been working on this for 30 years, and the thing we're most proud of in this industry cannot even be used by outsiders. So nowadays we have like silverware designed by NASA, and everybody at NASA is proud of that, and everybody buying silverware designed by NASA is proud of that. But our tools for version control, they aren't used by outsiders, or just marginally. Our tools are distributed. Yes, most of the time we use them with a global central server. So I've seen a poster in this conference saying not all paths lead to Chrome, but apparently many paths lead to GitHub. Our tools also require strong work discipline and planning. You need to plan ahead of time, to plan your branches, to follow really strict workflows, to rebase versus merge. We even had a slide on that in the previous talk, like are you a merge shop or a rebase shop? Like in this talk, I'll try to convince you that this doesn't matter at all. And this, all this results in a significant waste of human work time at a global scale. Improvements have been proposed, for example, DARCs, but they don't really scale and nobody uses them. So can we get a quick fix? Can we get that next Git command that will fix everything? Well, unfortunately, I don't think so. First of all, because abstractions leak terribly in Git. And the reason isn't the UI, isn't the bad naming of some commands or arguments. The reason is that if we consider Merkle trees and DAGs as the core mechanism, they can't really be hidden from the user. Because that, if that's the core thing you want, and if all the properties you want come from that, there's absolutely no reason to hide it from the user, and there's no hope you can even succeed in doing that. Also, similarly, if strict ordering of snapshots is the main feature, the most used Git commands, like rebase, we heard about rah-rah-rah in the previous talk, cherry-pick, there are fixes around that best feature we have. So why do you need to fix your main feature? That's strange. Anyway, some more symptoms. There is an inflation of commands and options in Git. Like, I'll try to show you an example here. This has gotten comical to the point that someone made a Git man page generator that actually looks credible. If you reload the page here, you get a different one every time. Grab environment grabs non-reset downstream environments using parsed local garbage collectors while overriding fitting shells to survey the given environments. Who doesn't use this command here? Anyway, there is also an inflation of UIs. Even big tech is now investing in Git and Mercurial UIs. I won't cite names here. But there's also an inflation of forges. How many forges have started in the last year alone? I know a bunch of forges because they sometimes contact me to help them do something with people. And if my claim here is that we all consider text editing a solved problem, and there's no new text editor popping up every now and then and convincing a VC that this is a really cool idea. Window managers, the same thing. And forges, you keep seeing forges popping up every now and then. So I'm not saying this is bad. This is actually really good. It's fantastic that the ecosystem is thriving and there's a lot of diversity. But my claim is that maybe that this inflation comes from some more fundamental thing that we don't understand. Now, on to our demands. First, we demand associative merges. It may not matter much to use, but I'll show you in the next slide that you actually want associative merges. Associative merges means that when you have two changes, A and B, and you merge them together, it should do the same as merging A followed by merging B. And the reason you want that is because you want to be able to review your patches or your commits one by one and then merge them. And trust that the merge does exactly what you think it does, except in Git it doesn't. Commutative merges. If A and B can be produced independently, their order should not matter. That's what I mean by, are we a rebase shop or a merge shop? It doesn't matter. We don't want to ask this question. We want to get back to work. Branches, we do want branches. Everybody loves branches, but not too many branches. Branches are good until they aren't. I'll tell you more on that later. And we also want that's something I personally really want. I want low algorithmic complexity. And also ideally fast implementations, but in my way of seeing things, that comes second. But I also give you an example of a very fast implementation of something we've done. All right, associative merges, the first of our demands. This is exactly what I described, but this is a graphic view of it. So you have two co-authors, Alice and Bob. Alice produces one commit A, and Bob produces two commits B and C. And then in the first scenario, Alice merges Bob's first commit, and then Bob's second commit. In the second scenario, she merges both commits at once. And, well, the commit identifiers, nobody would expect that they're the same. There will necessarily be difference. But the contents of the, if there's no conflict at all, the contents should absolutely be the same. And this is actually false. So this is an example, a counterexample of where Git is not associative, and this might be a problem. This is actually terrifying to me. We start on the left here with a simple file with two lines, A and B. Alice follows that path. She adds the first commit with a G at the very beginning of the file. And then she goes on and adds another commit with another copy of A and B at the, before that G, right? And concurrently to that, Bob inserts an X between the initial A and B. And when you can try that, if you have a laptop here, you can try to simulate that in Git today. And this is actually not a bug, it's a feature of Git. And what happens if you do that is that Bob's new lines get merged into Alice's new lines. And if I were working in a high security project, this would absolutely terrify me. This means that Git can randomly shuffle your lines around and do it silently without telling you that there's no conflict, nothing. It just works, and yet it doesn't really work. It doesn't do what you think it does. So we don't want that. We want to fix the problem. We also want commutative merges, so that's a more controversial one. We want the property that if Alice and Bob work together, Alice can pull Bob's changes and Bob can pull Alice's changes without having to worry too much about the resulting hashes or the contents of the file. If the patches are independent, you should be able to apply them in any order without changing the results. So we do that. Git and SVN are never commutative. So why would we want this? Actually, there's very good reasons to want this. For example, you might want to unapply an old change, an old patch that you just made a few patches ago that was wrong, and you want to undo it without having to change your entire identities. Of course, we also want state identities, and I'll come back to that later. We want cherry picking. We want to be able to just like take that one patch from a different branch, maybe a bug fix, and we want to pull it into our branch without having to rebase everything and change every commit's identity. And yet keep strong, unforgeable state identifiers. And we want partial clones. So partial clones means that you want to just pull the patches related to a sub-project and possibly also in the other direction, merge repos transparently. So Scott was talking before about mono repos and how Microsoft devoted probably millions of man hours to have their mono repos work. But actually, if you first try to model your things properly and try to understand commutativity, actually you don't need all that. You can get mono repos for free. And so that brings us to one of the crucial slides in this presentation about states versus changes. So the way we see things in order to think about version control. So I understand I'm not giving you many new commands or cool command line hacks, but before getting to that, we had to think about like what it means to do version control. So states versus changes. There's actually two fundamentally different ways to model what version control is. One is by seeing it as a series of versions, a series of snapshots of your repo, which is what Git does, and Mercurial, SVN, CVS do that. And only compute changes as a byproduct of these. And the question we can ask is, what if we did the opposite? What is if instead of considering that working in a project means creating a new version, we considered that working in a project means changing it, creating a change. And another question we can ask is, what if we did both at the same time? And that's what we do. All right. So a little bit of bibliography first, and this is getting to getting a little bit mathematically. So bear with me if you don't understand everything. I'll get back to cool implementation stuff later. So a change-based idea, and this is from the 80s, It's called operational transforms, and it is what Google Docs, for example, uses, or Darks uses that as well. So in operational transforms, for example, we start with a file with only three lines, A, B, C. T1 on the left inserts, so this is Alice, let's say, inserts X at the beginning of the file, and T2 deletes the character C. So to get into two divergent states, and then the operation. What operational transforms mean is that now that we've inserted an X at the beginning of the file, this changes. We have to rewrite the other concurrent changes. Like for example, here, instead of saying delete the second character, it was a C. Now you have to say delete the third character, it was a C. And so that's how you can merge things. Darks does this and uses this to detect conflicts. One issue is that if you only have insertions and deletions, it's okay, but there are still performance problems. But as soon as you start handling more than insertions and deletions, you get into a quadratic explosion of cases because you have to handle all pairs of types of operations. And this is according to Google engineers who worked in the Google Docs project. This is an absolute nightmare to implement. And I've never heard anyone implementing operational transform who said, yeah, they're cool, they're really easy. So a hybrid in more recent state,